They don't just haunt our homes. They breach our reality. Glowing figures at the foot of the bed, a presence that paralyzes, eyes that know you before you even wake. Reverend Bill Bean believes these aren't just entities from the void, but intelligent, manipulative forces that transcend dimensions. If demons can walk through walls, what's to stop something far stranger from stepping through as well? Tonight, we go beyond faith and fear into encounters that defy reason and confront the ultimate question, who or what has truly been watching us all along? Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Reverend Bill Bean. All right, Reverend Bean, let's get into this, because this is a newer aspect of our conversations. Over the years, we've talked about ghosts and hauntings and demonic possession and infestation and oppression. Getting into the alien element of it is a little bit new in our conversations. How long have you been aware of beings that are from another world? And by that, I use that term loosely, not necessarily from outer space, but from a location that we do not know exists or understand.
Yeah. And thank you again for having me back, Dave. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. And for most of my life, to answer your question, I've been having these experiences for most of my life. And this goes all the way back to the Bible. There are over 100 scriptures in the Bible that talk about flying vehicles. They're mentioned as clouds, pillar of a cloud, flying tabernacle, scrolls, rolls, etc., etc., etc. So Psalm 68:17 says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Yahweh is among them. Okay, so these, in my opinion, go back to God, the creator of the universe. Why does he need flying chariots? I don't know. We'd have to ask him that. I don't know. But I do believe it 100% that these, in some cases, are divine flying Merkabah chariots. Okay, so when the devil and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, they were cast out, in my opinion, in flying craft. And they came down here and they took human women. They produced a hybrid offspring of giants called the Nephilim. And the Nephilim went into the forest and the fields and had unnatural relations with apes, bears, wolves, dogs, monkeys, and others. And that, in my opinion, are the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Sabe beings. They're every bit as much supernatural as they are flesh and blood. So again, this is a very deep subject and it goes very deep, but I can tell you this. There are photographs. There was a photograph taken of me at the age of 3 in 1969, a Polaroid photo that my dad took. And in the photograph, Dave, at that precise moment, this photo of a little boy at age 3 standing in front of the bushes, it was as if this dimensional doorway opened. And all of a sudden, there were these other types of beings in the photograph. One looked like a big, tall lion face above my head. To my left, a little more than waist high a little higher up, looked like one of those little gray alien beings. To his left, it looked like the face of a Sasquatch, Bigfoot. And there were all these other different types of faces. Now, this is 1969 at age 3. And so that's what I know of, where it started and where it began. It's probably from birth, to be honest with you. But I mean, that was in that Polaroid photo. That is where that, you know, the dimensional doorway or whatever it was opened, and all these types of beings were in that photo. And then since that time, my goodness, it's probably thousands of photographs now that have either been taken of me or that I have taken of this type of phenomena. Who am I? I don't know. What is the interest for these otherworldly beings that they seemingly have in me? And they come to me even up until recent, which I mean, I have recent footage that I've just released from a couple days ago. Why is this happening? I have no idea other than to say I'm thankful that God protects me. And I've had many what I believe to be divine experiences pertaining to these UFOs, UAPs. But I've also had some experiences when I've been on a dark road at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, the only car on the road, and then all of a sudden, this UFO comes over me as I'm driving, and there were times that I felt like my life was in danger.
All right. Now, it's interesting. You went back and you mentioned some of the scriptures that talk about what appear to be alien craft in our current understanding. And people are like, well, they never described it that way. Well, there was nothing for them to compare it to. They were giving us an insight to this. So could it be then, in the way that it's written, that our God is from another planet, is from another space like that, that we are part of the creation, the germination of the work that they've done there and supplanted onto this planet? And could that be why they're saying that they use these chariots, that they come to us, that they see us? Because we are a monkey race, right? I mean, we are very low on the rung when you consider it, and we want to follow something. That's why people are so easy to drift and fall into many different categories of belief. And we want to believe. So if we saw something grand in the sky and this light and the first person to come forward was this being, that would become our God, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And furthermore, Dave, when you really examine the scriptures, if in fact there's any authenticity or accuracy to the descriptions of the beginning event, mm-hmm. and how that would be, I have no idea, because who's standing there with to document this when our God is hovering over the waters to speak, you know, life into existence. Now, I believe that if the event happened in any way as described, that Yahweh was aboard a flying Merkaba craft when he spoke everything into existence. I believe that 100%.
I love that. You know, you and I are both sci-fi nerds as well. I've always loved, I think it's Star Trek V, where they face off against God, right? And there's just this brilliant little scene where they go to Shakari, this planet, and they're standing there, and God shows the benevolent faces of all of these beings that people have always referred to as God. And he says, you know, let me bring peace to the galaxy. Bring me aboard your starship. And Captain Kirk steps forward and goes, what does God need with a starship? Right. And I think that's interesting, but it does lean into this belief system that we may not be what we think we are in the sense of the way the Bible has been read and translated, but it doesn't mean that something isn't responsible, something with intelligence and grace and power, something that learns, because the Bible reads very tough in the first act, right? The God's kind of a jerk in the first part of the Bible. He's very.
And I don't believe a lot of those stories, to be honest with you, Dave. I don't believe it. I don't believe our God, who loves us, would do those things. I don't. I believe
unless he was learning, unless he was beginning this journey and slowly saw it and began, you know, we get frustrated when we get that first puppy or kitten and it's tearing up the carpet and it's pooping on the floor and it's peeing in the garden, and we get frustrated and angry. And then as our love grows for these beings, we're more patient and understanding. It very well could be that we are the pets to this learned source, and it has learned to love us and learned what we're capable of. And I know there's about 10 seconds left in that. We'll come back and pick up from that point. But I often wonder if maybe that is part of this journey, is realizing our place in reality and what it actually means. Reverend Bill Bean, our guest tonight, and he has an amazing amount of resources and information on his website. For those of you listening to the podcast version, there is a link for it on today's program guide so that you can watch along. Just look for Paranormal 360 wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, fun, weird, deep conversations. This is what I live for, and I hope that you do too, tuning into programs like this. And I don't dig my heels in any one direction. So before I start getting angry emails or you start, you know, complaining to the general manager of the station, I pose questions that are on the minds of many people I've spoken to. Speaking to a man who stands in that light and tries to help people through the word of God, somebody that has helped in countless exorcisms and deliverances, somebody that has been face to face with evil and come through the other side, someone that has gone in and faced multidimensional and alien beings and is here to talk to us about it. So when I ask these questions, it's not because of lack of faith on my own. It's trying to get a better understanding for you, my listener, to understand these things as well. As this is all our journey and we are required to take it, but we have masters that come before us that can teach us and give us the keys to enlightenment. Bill Bean is one of those people in my life and has been for almost 20 years now. Bill, as I talked about the concept that, you know, we are in a sense, maybe just the kind of pets of this God, and we have grown on him and therefore grown in his attention. I mean, is that such a heretical concept?
Not really, because again, there's a purpose and a reason that he created us. Now, what is that reason? I can't honestly say, because I don't know. So I would only be speculating, but I do believe that he does love us. And, you know, furthermore, when we talked a moment ago about, you know, when Yahweh spoke the world into existence, and he also said, you know, supposedly said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, after our kind. Okay. So now if I went into a church and said that, they'd go, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus. That's who he's talking. No, he's not. Not in my opinion. He's talking to the other Elohim. And so the other Elohim were lesser gods under him that perhaps assisted in the creation. And this is why we have different colors and races of people. And so, a lot of, and look, I'm not against anybody. I love everybody. And there, I would do anything to help anybody anytime, but I am for the truth. So I'm a truth seeker. So I want to know the truth so I could speak the truth, so I could teach the truth. The truth is the truth, and there's no substitute for it. Any substitute is a lie. So I always want truth. And so I truly believe that Yahweh was speaking to the other Elohim when he said that. And this is why we have such a difference of the peoples, you know, and the races and the colors on the earth. And yet, at the same time, the devil has a belly laugh because of the division. Dave, there are 45,000 different Christian denominations in the world, over 1,500 in the United States alone. And there are 20,000 other world religions. Okay, so that's a problem. That, because if we have one God, one creator, and let's just say that he is the most high Elohim. So there are, you know, these Elohim God, and he is the most high God above them and above us. That should be for everybody, right? Because if they created human beings, they created all of us. And so this is where it grates on me about certain doctrines that, you know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell and everybody else is going to hell. So that would tell me, you know, if you're saying that, that says that 6 billion people are going to hell because there's 2 billion Christians on the planet. And so 6 billion people are going to hell. And then furthermore, you'll hear some of these people say, well, those great men of the Bible that God called forth, there are men like Enoch that Yahweh walked with, that Yahweh took him up, according to the scripture. Enoch never died. He was taken up. So UFO came over him and took him up. He never saw death. Elijah, the prophet, the UFO came over and took him up. He never saw death. Ezekiel, he was taken to the 7 levels of heaven. He saw it all. You're telling me, and this is what they would tell you at some of these churches, is that all those men are in hell because Jesus wasn't there to save them. This is the most preposterous thing that I've ever heard in my life. And yet people continue to recite these things, and it is madness.
Right. Here's the beauty of it, right? When you say, well, what is this? Then why the purpose of aliens visiting us? Why the purpose of seeing these beings? Maybe it's to shake us out of the paradigm and the laziness of life that we allow ourselves to slip into, to remember that there is magic amongst us, that there is things that go beyond the ken of our understanding. And that's okay. And to realize then that there is something that has created it all, and that we need to pay attention, be aware. And, you know, there are so many people that come forth saying that these alien invaders, these alien species, they're really worried about our safety and our planet, and that they're trying to make themselves known here to protect us. Well, that sounds like angels to me, Bill.
Correct. So you have, in my opinion, again, you have some of these beings are in the order of God and a part of the angelic heavenly host, that no doubt about it, they're operating divine Merkaba chariots. I've had many experiences like that. However, there are others that are in the demonic realms that do want destruction for mankind. And thank God for those angelic forces that protect us. Furthermore, there's another area of beings that are perhaps from other planets and other places that perhaps have the technological capability to come and visit us. I believe that too. And then the fourth factor in this is that our governments who have made deals with these demonic ones, they, in exchange for technology through alien abduction and implants and all these types of things, our governments do possess this technology. And this is why you have the president of the United States saying that we have these otherworldly capabilities now to manipulate space and time. He's not saying that for no reason. They've had this for a long time. And I do believe that is through the deals that they made with these demonic forces.
Going back many, many years. We're not just talking about current administration.
Not current. No, this goes way, way back. And this is why we had the giant technological leap that we've had over the last 100 years. So, again, am I a Rhodes Scholar? No, I am not. But I do thank God for blessing me with wisdom and knowledge far beyond anything that I could ever imagine in my life. And that comes from a willingness to seek the truth and to know things.
All right. I will set the stage for the next segment. I want to talk to you then about your experiences with these beings, with these aliens, with multidimensional, interdimensional, whatever the correct PC term is for these beings. When you've come into contact with them, do you feel a divine presence with them, or are they the divine presence? Because again, as we're talking about the fact that so many of the realizations we're having now with the openness of 21st century knowledge and wokeness, that what sounds like aliens to some very much sounds like angels to others. And the fact that they seem to want what's in our best interest and that they want to bring us to a place of peace, but they can't do it for us. You know, the biggest bone of contention I had with that is, if you care so much, then show up and help us. Just whispering in the ear of one lone lunatic in a garbage dump in Ohio, who then comes out shaking his fist and talking about God and the aliens and how we need to come together. It always seems like that the information is given to the unlikeliest of candidates to be taken seriously. And that's why I think it's so summarily and easily dismissed by people around the world. So I'd like to know your take on that when we come back, dealing with aliens and your visitations, and also, when you've come into contact with these beings, how much of it has ever been in a sense of threat? This is a weird world that we live in, folks, but it's magical. It's got graces that you've never even thought to accept. And there are so many rules and regulations to the way we should live, but really it all comes down to be good, do good. And if you do that, even to the darker forces, I think that they yield to us because you're showing the compassion and empathy they may feel that they've been cheated of. We'll talk more with Reverend Bill Bean right after this. Reverend Bean, talk to me a little bit about your experience with these alien races and what it has been like for you.
Well, it's been a lifelong journey. I mean, this has been going on for most of my life. And I've had, again, many divine experiences. As crazy as this might sound, everything I'm saying to you is absolutely 100% true. And I have no reason to lie. I'm not an attention seeker. I don't desire anything other than to know the truth and speak the truth. And so the truth of the matter is, these experiences have been going on since childhood. I have been taken to other places. I have been aboard these types of flying Merkaba UFO craft and other craft as well. I have come face to face with many different types of beings through, you know, whether it be angels and or these very tall whites, some call them Nordic type of beings. I've had many experiences with them. I've also had experiences with reptilian beings and those that, I guess, and they were over 7 feet tall, scaly, yellowish, greenish eyes in the reptilian slits for the pupils. And I've also had experiences with what looked to be frog-like type of entities, and I guess they would be derived from the reptilians, my guess. I've seen many different mantis types of beings, over 7 feet tall, long skinny arms, long fingers. I had a direct experience in 1997 with one of those beings, and Dave, I'll never forget it. He took his left hand and wrapped around my right ankle, and I felt paralyzed. And I could still, to this day, as I'm describing this to you, feel the coldness of that hand, those fingers wrapping around my ankle. And I was felt completely paralyzed when that took place, and then I was taken someplace else. After being taken someplace else, it was like I was seated in, it almost seemed like the back seat of a car. I can't say that for sure, but that's what it felt like to me. And there was this human looking male, which I believe was a man in black, sitting to my left. And he was sitting, you know, square against the seat or whatever it was. And he didn't move his body. He turned his head like this to the right towards me, very sinister look. And he said, "Don't tell anyone about this." I'll never, ever forget it. And I've had other experiences with men in black as well. But I've had, you know, all these different types of beings, even beings that people would describe as gnomes. I've had those experiences. I have a photograph of one of those little entities in the photo. Other beings that were Bigfoot, Sabe, Sasquatch, and other beings that look like some type of otter or something. It's absolutely unfathomable that I've had these types of experience. And I really praise God for it, Dave, because I'm thankful for the experience. And again, some of it has not been pleasant. But at the same time, we all have a journey in life, and we can't be where God wants and needs us to be unless we have some of these experiences. So I'm thankful for all of them, to be honest with you. And I'm just thankful that God has bestowed this upon me. And I've often thought, okay, not that I ever think that I'm someone special from anybody else. I do not think that way at all. But I do think and have thought, okay, why did God choose me to experience all these things? Who am I? Am I a carrier of something that I don't know, a container for something that is stored within me? Why is there so much interest in me? And I've had all these experiences with black helicopters surveilling me. That still goes on. Vans, black vans, white vans, vehicle surveillance, phones. I know it sounds paranoid, delusional, crazy, but I assure you what I'm saying is true. There are targeted individuals out there for whatever reasons that this does happen to. And I help people like this. And, you know, some of these people are really in a bad place because they can't get out from under the fear. So therefore, that will put them in a very depressed state, which makes them wide open and vulnerable for demonic attack. So it is imperative that we have this level of strong faith to where we can overcome this. I wouldn't care if a copter landed right now. I would go and engage whoever it was because I don't have fear anymore.
Do you ever get the sense that when you're in the presence of these beings, that they are, in a sense, angelic creatures?
Some yes and some no. I went through something in 1997 after what I described to you. I saw 8 different doctors and they couldn't figure out what was going on. I had something was in my throat. It felt like trying to swallow a ball. And this started in July of 1997, and it ended on December 16th and December 17th of 97. And what it was, to make a long story short, on the 16th of December, I started coughing. I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth. It was in the early morning hours. And it felt like a piece of the bristle had come off from the toothbrush. And I reached in like this with my right index finger. And out on the end of my index finger, which I thought was going to be a bristle from the toothbrush, was this flat gold chip-like thing. It was a 16th of an inch in size. It was square, and it was gold on one side and dull on the other. And something told me to save that. And I put it in a baggie, and I saved it. I started to feel like some of that discomfort had lifted. I thought I was dying. I lost like 42 pounds. Couldn't eat. My wife and I really thought that I was dying. So all these different doctors was rushed to the hospital via ambulance several times. Hmm. Nobody could figure out what was going on. So then the next morning on December 17th, 1997, Same thing. I'm in the bathroom getting ready to brush my teeth. I start coughing. I spit into the sink. And when I did, two more of those pieces came out. And same exact thing. They were 16th of an inch in size. They were gold on one side, flat on the other. And I saved those as well. And I was instantly healed after that. Every bit of discomfort and it was all gone after those chips, whatever they were, came out.
Do you still have those chips? And have you thought of having them tested?
I have had them tested. I went to Daryl Sims, who's part of the Houston Mutual UFO Network. He's known as the Alien Hunter. He did test one of the pieces, and he still has it. And he made a press release calling it the Bean Biochip. He thought that it was a part of my lab, military laboratory experience or experiments, clandestine agencies working with these alien intelligence and taking people and implanting them with chips and all this kind of stuff. So he said that there was integrated circuitry in the chip and they had thoroughly analyzed it. And that was years ago. And I went on a series of shows with him as he talked about that. Another chip I gave to a close friend to hold. Unfortunately, he died of a heart attack. I never got that chip back. And then I had a third one, which I kept in a lead box under my bed. But then I decided that as my faith increased and I didn't want anything more to do with this stuff, I actually got rid of that, disposed of it because I didn't want it under my bed anymore.
And I know for some of you, the skeptical side are going to say, well, that's convenient, right?
You can believe it or not.
But one piece was out and had been examined, and there was talk about it and papers written about it. So yeah, that is part of this. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back with Reverend Bill Bean and wrap up our show this evening. What does this all mean to us? What should we be paying attention to? And is this a thinly veiled threat of things to come? Welcome back, my darklings. This is the Paranormal 360, your home for all things strange and supernatural, every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central, right here. And I do want to make a quick mention for those of you, my season finale of Paranormal Mysteries airs this coming Friday on Stream Beacon TV. If you've missed it, Cindy Kaza, the medium, Shane Pittman, the paranormal tech, and myself as lead investigator have gone out on six different occasions, six different locations, investigating mysteries. And we've had a really great run on this series. The season finale, which I think is probably one of the most impactful and definitely altered the way I look at a lot of things, takes place this Friday, Halloween. So go check it out for yourself on streambeacontv.com. Go to streambeacontv.com to find out where you can watch it and how you can stream the show for yourself. Reverend Bill Bean, our guest, as we wrap up, with all of the people seeing things, it would be easy to just dismiss everyone as crazy and hallucinations and look at the world and the shape of the world that we're in right now. People are seeking some answers outside of the normal. But do you think that there is something more, that this isn't just some lunatic fringe of people having these experiences, but that something is changing and rapidly?
No question about it. So is something on our doorstep? I believe it 100%. I couldn't tell you what it is because God has not revealed that to me. And that's another thing that drives me mad. Are these people out there that make these end world predictions? We just had recently somebody saying, oh, the rapture is going to be here and then a nuclear weapon is going to hit America. Well, neither happened. And so people keep falling for this and it is madness. So don't trust people when they give you these false prophecies and predictions. But I will say that I do feel that something momentous is on our doorstep. What is it? I don't know, but I do believe that it is going to change life as we know it. You know, I want to say this as well, Dave, you know, to where I said about some of these religious people talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus when I said I thought it was the Elohim. Now, I do believe that there was a man that Yahweh selected and put the spirit of the Melchizedek on, the high priest. And I do believe his name was Yahshua, which means Joshua. The name Jesus is like 523 years old. You try to tell somebody that, they just won't believe it, but it's true. And so this being or person that was chosen by God, I believe he was chosen as the archetype of setting an example as to how we should live our lives. I believe that 100%. People get everything twisted, though. Here's where the danger comes in. And whatever, if this is religious or cultish, sometimes they blend in together. If you emotionally invest into someone or something to the point that you're totally in, then you can't see anything anymore because you have this blinded devotion. And therefore, whatever that person tells you, you will take that as gospel truth and then you will live that. And that's how these cult leaders exist. We just had this guy with these mega churches, David Taylor, that had these people in slave labor and then had his bishops going to the homes of married women and taking them out of their homes at night to go and have relations with him. This is just unfathomable to me. So the reason for my saying this is be very careful. Be careful who you trust. Be careful who you invest in. Always pray. And anything that I've said here on this broadcast with Dave Schrader, if you don't believe it, pray and ask God if I'm speaking the truth. And may he reveal the truth to you, because there's so much deception in the world these days, especially in America, that people are easily led. They're easily deceived. And it is just, I look at this, Dave, and I go, I just can't believe this. But this is all part of what we are heading to and what is leading to this and who is leading us to this. So I will say this. We had a recent story. Supposedly a meteor was descending on some city in Mexico. Now, I saw the video, and if the video is authentic, it's an amazing piece of footage. Out of nowhere, this white UFO UAP manifest and suddenly steers the meteor upward to where it went out to sea and didn't crash into the city. So if that's true, and if it really happened as it was presented, then we clearly see that God does have angels protecting us from harm. And perhaps we are coming to a final showdown with the forces of light against the forces of darkness. And maybe this is the momentous thing that we're headed for.
There's a lot of talk regarding this 31 Atlas or 3-Eye Atlas that's coming towards us and seems to have some form of intelligence. Have you put much thought or stock into that? And with your consorting with God, have you been given any insight as to what this thing is?
What very well could be a real object, some type of manufactured object from somewhere else. It certainly doesn't seem to have the characteristics of a comet. I'm not an astronomer or any expert in that field, but I've studied a lot about this, and I see the stories and I read the stories. And here's where it gets a little twisted, though. How would Professor Avi Loeb and these people that are with him, how would they know that, that this is, in fact, some type of alien craft that's approaching the Earth, which it very well could be, but B, how do they know that these beings have hostile intent towards the people of the Earth? There's no way you would know that unless there's some type of communication that would verify that or give you that inclination or thought to even say this publicly. So this is where it's a slippery slope. And this is where, some people could really get into a state of fear to the point of not wanting to live anymore. And this is where we got to be careful. So I can't say with 100% certainty that A, that this is some type of alien craft. I believe that it is, but I can't swear to it. B, in no way would I say that it has hostile intent, because I don't know that. So I can't tell you what I don't know. If I told you that, then I'd be a liar. So we just have to remain steadfast in faith. If, in fact, Professor Avi Loeb is right about his assessment, which I don't believe he is, but if he is, then I would pray that God would have his heavenly host, his angels, to thwart any type of, hostile act that these beings may put towards the earth.
Amen to that, brother. Bill Bean, thank you so much for being here with us again. It's always great talking to you.
My pleasure, brother. God bless you and your family, and we'll talk again soon. And thank you to everybody out there for watching.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody tuning in and spending a little time here with us this evening. We talk about visitors, but the truth is we're all travelers through light and shadow. Some guests mean harm, others bring warnings, and some are here to remind us that faith is the greatest defense against the unknown. Reverend Bill Bean has stared down darkness and emerged not just unbroken, but reborn, proof that what's meant to destroy us can become what strengthens us. So whether your uninvited visitor comes from the grave, the stars, or somewhere between, remember this: fear is a door, faith is the key. And together they define the boundaries of every haunting we face. So may the darkness of this world be just a little brighter with the information we share here each week on our Paranormal 360.